Good morning.
Good morning.
Christ is our midst.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
First, I want to say welcome to all our guests and visitors, and to those who, anybody who's online with us this morning, God bless you. We wish you're here, but you're glad you joined us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the story is told of a 4th century desert father named Saint Sapodon. He was the Sidonite. He was on pilgrimage to Rome. Saint Sapodon was a great wanderer, and he loved to travel. He knew of a famous recluse woman who lived in a small room and never went out. Because it was so opposite of who he was, Saint Sapodon was kind of skeptical and wanted to go see her. So when he called on her, knocked on her door, went in, and politely asked her, "Why are you sitting there?" And she replied, "I am not sitting here. I am on a journey. I am on a journey." The point is, for Christians, we are always on a journey. At least we should be. In the epistles, Christians are called sojourners and pilgrims. Before Christians were called Christians, in the book of Acts, we read they were called the people of the way. Most likely coming from our Lord's words saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The idea here is that being a Christian, following Christ, is a way of life. And that brings us to today's day. Today's the 4th Sunday of Lent, St. John Climacus. And featured always, Climacus means of a ladder. St. John wrote this wonderful book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, and the icon, and it describes the spiritual journey, the spiritual life. And so in the middle of the church today, and on the back wall of the church, we have this wonderful icon of the Ladder of Divine Ascent. And very central of the icon, of course, is the ladder. And it's a journey from earth to heaven. And the ladder sits between earth and heaven. It comes, of course, from Jacob's ladder in the book of Genesis, Jacob's vision. But what I want us to notice is in the icon here, it's on the front of your bulletin. I can show it to you right here. In the icon, and on the icon in the back wall, right here, the ladder is leaned up against the church. And I would make the observation to you, it is planted in the foundation of the church, meaning that the ladder is founded. The journey on the ladder is founded, is grounded in the liturgy of the church, the prayer of the church, the scripture church, the set of discipline of the church, and the teachings of the church, so that the ladder, the foundational ladder, is the church and everything the church is. And pointing up the way of the ladder in the icon is the priests, deacons, monastics, etc., all those lay leaders who show us the journey up the ladder. Okay? And of course, at the top of the ladder is the kingdom and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ meeting us. Now, this idea of the ladder is equated to what our Lord calls the narrow path, the narrow gate, going through the narrow gate. He says, "Enter the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many, but the gate that is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, those who find it are few." Now, many years ago, I'm not sure if it was a priest yet or not, I spoke to Father John Ely about this, because that's probably not a priest yet. And I said to him, that's a hard thing, the narrow path. And he went, "No." And we start the path by God's grace and mercy, and again, it's many years ago, so I'm not saying his exact words, but this is the idea. When we start the path by God's grace and mercy, the path is wide. And we travel the path, and we live life, and we go further and further down the path. It gets narrower and narrower and narrower. And that's okay, because it never gets too narrow for us. As long as we're praying and being led by Christ, we can walk. And then I would add to his word to say here, that even if we're living the spiritual life properly, it can become a tightrope. But we're experts at walking on a tightrope, okay? And so this is where I want to go today. For some, though, on this path, when they walk it in their spiritual life, and it's a new phenomena, I want to say new phenomena, it's a special way it's happening now today, There's an unfortunate detour or side road on this narrow path. And let me explain. Father Peter Gilchrist, a blessed memory, was a very wise priest, a humble man, a natural evangelist. In 1987, he led about 2,000 people, Protestants, that were in his church into the fullness of the Orthodox faith. And one day, I knew him, we were friends, we did things together. Me as a young priest and learning from a wise man and working in missions together. And one day he shared with me and others who were present concerns about how there was a growing fundamentalism among some in a group that entered Orthodoxy with him. And he said they wanted, and this he said jokingly, but it was a very serious statement. He said they wanted to be more Orthodox than Jesus. I said, wow. And sometimes as priests, we joke about convertitis. But it comes from the enthusiasm and joy we have in finding the church. In fact, I get it. I remember when I definitely had a form of this when I was younger, when I returned to the church. You know, there was a time in my life where, you know, I fell away from God. I was Orthodox, but I went looking everywhere else. I wanted to find it on my own. And I became very, I don't want to say fundamental, but maybe I was, my wife will have to say, but I became very strict. You know, this is the way, this is the right. And it was wrong. So Father Peter was telling us about this, and he was fearing a fallout. And one did come in his church, and I'm not going to go over all that. But thank God, over time, this group assimilated into the church, into Antioch and Archdiocese, and this fundamentalism faded away. In fact, many of these churches today are very big and strong and continue to grow, so it's really good. He was also famously said many times, Orthodoxy is America's best kept secret. And of course, today that's not the case anymore. I remember growing up 50 years ago, nobody knew what the church was, and today people have some sort of idea of what the church is. So Father Peter, his whole life was all about getting the good news out, getting out America's best secret, letting the world know. And I know today we have joy. And many of that especially comes mostly through globalization, the media, and the internet. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. Father Seraphim Rose, another great man who's now a blessed memory, was a saintly man. In fact, he was a spiritual father of Bishop Gudossam. And like Bishop Gudossam and Father Peter, he was a convert. And in 1978, he wrote an article about the dangers of extremism in the church, this fundamentalism, convertitis, and all this kind of stuff. And his oversimplification, he wrote about cradles being perceived as being too liberal or passive in their faith, and converts being too fundamentalist. And the article was called The Royal Path, in which is an expression he borrowed from the 4th century monastic, St. John Cassian, who said, we must walk, we must go on the royal path, avoiding extremes on both sides. At that time, St. John Cassian was dealing with extremism in the church in the 4th century, go figure. But he was dealing with different cultures and everything. In seminary, one of our bishops said, Orthodoxy is not in extremes, but it is in the middle. To help us understand this, I want us to think of a bell curve. Think about a bell curve. You know, in school we learned about this. I would tell you the royal path is this top center section here of the bell curve. And the extremes are these top little bottom here that's out here. Beginning in about 2000, our nation became politically polarized, extremely polarized. And the culture, it is now built up in our culture. In our culture, we have polarization as part of our culture. And these tentacles have extended into many areas in our culture, including faith. And in the church, it's via the internet, which is leading to extremism on either side of the spectrum. In our diocesan pastoral conference a few months ago, we had a presentation on the internet and how it is affecting our ministries and how it's affecting catechism in the church. And one of the things I learned is that because of the way the internet works, meaning algorithms, because in the words of Paul, we have itchy ears, extreme views on the internet get the most clicks, which I had no idea of, which means content on the edge of the extreme of the bell curve gets, when you Google things, it goes higher up in Google searches. And so people start thinking mistakenly, who are uninformed, that, oh, this is important, it's way up here. You know, but that's the internet. That's not how seminary works or not how academia works, okay? And this is unfortunate because people think that this is authoritative and it has undue influence on people who want to learn more about their faith. And I also learned that many of these proprietors of these websites monetize their websites, which struck me. I never really thought about that. And that means the more clicks they get, the better their income. And this is not a good motive, to have a website sharing the gospel and trying to make money off of it. Okay? In fact, our Lord says we don't monetize his teachings. He tells the 12, he tells the apostles when he sends them out, their disciples at that time. When he sends out, he tells them, you receive the good news without paying. Give it, share it without paying. In the NIV, it's rendered, freely you have received, freely give. This means we don't enrich ourselves off the gospel. That's why clergy are not paid billions of dollars. Well, for many reasons we're not paid billions of dollars. Okay, but we don't enrich ourselves. Father Tom Hopko, who published many books, tapes, and CDs, never monetized his works. To this day, his wife would have a real, well, his wife just passed too. But his family would have a nice income, right? But no, this is what he did. He said, I remember him saying this, you can't charge what the Holy Spirit gives you. You can't charge what the Holy Spirit gives you. And all his books and everything else he wrote, it went to support students at St. Vladimir Seminary to pay for their tuition or et cetera. And let me just say this, I am not an authority on any of this stuff, on this internet stuff, but we must stay on a royal path. I myself only go to mainline websites, official ones, like Ancient Faith Radio. Has anybody visited Ancient Faith Radio? Everyone should raise their hands. It's a fantastic website, okay? Good stuff. And when there's a mistake on a website, guess what? They pull it. Somebody says something wrong. I one time complained about something, along with others. They actually took it seriously, okay? And that was on a book, okay? St. Vladimir Seminary Press. Their motive is no agenda. You get the good news out, and then the income there goes to take care of the students, okay? Or to attend seminaries, St. Vladimir Seminary Press or St. Vladimir Seminary, the OCA website, Antiochian, Greek Archive, etc. Their mainline, they're good. They're healthy. But if you click on one of the guys sitting there trying to make money, or he has what you think, this is kind of way out there, ask me, okay? We want to be on a royal path. And by the way, my social media is the same. I don't go. If you look at my Facebook stream, whatever, what is that called? Feed. It's boring. It has church, my friends, woodworking. What else? Construction sometimes, electrical things. You know, things that interest me. And I don't get garbage. And if it does come garbage, I'd hit that button, like, stop that one, okay? I always worry about what is good for my soul. And by the way, same with podcasts. My podcasts, almost all are Ancient Faith Radio or mainline ones that people have shared with me. Good stuff. And by the way, when I read a book or I listen to podcasts, if I don't like it in the first few pages or in the first few minutes, I shut it off because my time is valuable. I always want to grow, okay? And by the way, when I buy a book or get a book, I always buy a book when it comes to theology from a mainline press. Oxford Press, St. Vladimir Seminary Press, etc. Because that stuff has been checked out and scrutinized academically. Okay? So let me just add this and close with this. Walking on a royal path or being on a royal path does not mean we have to walk lockstep. The royal path is filled with diverse practices, opinions, and traditions. Why? Because the church is filled with diverse practices, opinions, and traditions. In fact, I love the image that the church is this beautiful tapestry that God has woven with many different colored strings. And it's woven together, make a beautiful picture, beautiful whatever you want to call it, with different people, with different opinions, and different traditions. There's unity in the diversity of the royal path. And I want us to see that all. So, brothers and sisters, to close, the foundation of the ladder of divine ascent is the life of the church. In the icon we see, or I pointed out, this liturgy is scripture, tradition, etc. On this icon, there's no internet router, okay? It's not there, okay? It's a good thing, the internet. It's a very good thing. It introduced many to the church. It's introduced many husbands and wives that we've done weddings for here. But when we use the internet, and we use anything really, we have to really be careful what the source is, because we can get on the wrong path. Through the prayers of St. John the Ladder, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us and save us. Amen.